Take your Bibles tonight and turn to James chapter 3. You're going to jump right in the message. It is 5 till 8. Preacher said 8 o'clock we need to be done, so I promise you by 8 o'clock we will be done. 8 o'clock in the morning. No, okay. No. Hey, the problem is preachers don't preach long. It's people listen slow. So you're going to have to listen fast here, and we'll jump right into the message tonight. James chapter 3. And boy, I enjoy church, enjoy being here, and what an honor once again to get to be here at this great church. James chapter 3. And when you find your places, let's stand together for the reading of the Bible tonight. James chapter 3, the Bible says in verse number 1, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." Heavenly Father, I pray you bless now the message tonight, and empower me, and strengthen me, and help me, Lord. We need your help. We need to hear from heaven. I pray you'd use me, Lord, to be a tool, and that you would speak and deal with people, Holy Spirit. Go up and down each aisle, in and out each pew, and Lord, may we be sensitive to your Spirit tonight, and Lord, may the church be strengthened and helped. May lost be saved, and we'll ask this in your precious name. Amen. You all can be seated. I want to preach to you for a few moments tonight on the subject, the power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. We hurt people intentionally and not intentionally. Sometimes you don't even mean to hurt somebody, and they took it the wrong way, didn't they? I mean, you know, those of us that are public speakers, you know, preacher, how many times have we said something and somebody took it wrong? And they twisted it out of context. They do that to, you know, the president. They do it to preachers. They just do it to anybody and make it sound like they want to. I remember I was in church, and I was associate pastor with working with Dan Woodward when I first got out of school. We were both young in the ministry and learning things. And our preacher, boy, been teaching the people, boy, you be friendly. Boy, folks don't want to go to an old, dry, dusty church. Lord, deliver me from dead heads, ding dongs, and ding bats. God, I don't want to go to old, dead churches. I want to go to churches that are alive. And he's saying, boy, we need to be a friendly church. And he was teaching the people, boy, you be friendly, you be kind, boy, you be outgoing. And you greet people, and you go up and you shake their hands and say, boy, what's your name? What's your name? Who?
Chad.
Chad, nice to meet you, Chad. Good to see you, buddy. Glad you're here. You be friendly. You meet people. 95% of folks that are in churches are in church because of a friend. Did you know that? We got some friends, I think, over here somewhere, didn't we? Who's the friend that brought the friends? Which one was it? Oh, you brought the friends. Is that right? Good. Isn't it good to have friends? Or would you rather not have? Okay. Well, what'd you do? They're here because of friends. They have a friend. This is my friend.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't see any other visitors that are here just say, hey, we just stopped in, see what y'all was about. That don't happen very often. Now, we want it to happen, and they're welcome, but they just won't come unless they got a connection somehow. So the preacher says, boy, you be friendly. And try to, and whenever visitors come in, you make them feel welcome. Just like Brother Reiser, I'm sure you've done this with your teenagers. I'm sure every one of these teenagers have visited, or not visited, they, every one of the teenagers make the new visitor feel welcome. Didn't we have a new visitor in the youth group tonight? Where is he at? Yeah. Who is he? This fellow right here? Yeah. What's your name? Yeah. Who?
Spiro.
Spiro? Spiro, right. Were you over there in the youth meeting tonight? At 6 o'clock? Were you Brother Reiser? That goofy guy's got the crazy ideas about, you know, dressing funny and stuff. Okay, you know, this fellow right here, hey, how you doing, buddy? Good to see you tonight. You know, I bet you every one of the teenagers greeted that fella and says, we are glad you're here. Thank you for coming. It's kind of quiet, but I bet they ought to.
Man,
they ought to shake your hand off, buddy. They ought to make you feel so welcome. It's like, wow. See, how you expect your youth group to grow if you're stuffed shirts and just got your nose up in the air? It's just our four and no more. Now, I know you're not that way, but I need to preach at you like you are. Maybe just shake you up a little bit. But, you know, nobody wants to go to that. It's like, hey, I can't wait till I get out of here. I ain't ever come back. But you know, when you're kind and you're friendly, and you reach out to those visitors and make them feel welcome, I tell you what, they'll feel like, man, I'm wanted here, I'm liked here, I'm going to come back. That's what you need to do. And I know your preacher preaches that to you. Boy, you be kind to folks and friendly to people. Well, our preacher preached that. So, There's a lawyer that came to our church. We was in the middle of a cornfield, you know, country like this. And the lawyer, the one and only lawyer, shows up. Fred Struve. He comes to church. We are so excited. We're just country folk, common people. Fred Struve, the town lawyer's there. Wow. Can you believe it? The lawyer's here. The lawyer's here. Ooh, big bucks lawyer. rich man, big house. You know. He shows up like, wow. Well, he asked us to pray for his wife, that he and his wife would get back together. They were separated. You know, sometimes I wonder what it's going to take for the Lord to shake you up, get your attention. You've been out of church, away from the Lord. Is it going to take a divorce? Is it going to take a wife threatening to leave you? Is it going to take a kid going bad where all of a sudden, pow, you hit the head and say, whoa, I guess I better show up to church, you know, and I better just get my act together. What's it going to take? Get your attention. Well, Fred comes to church, pray for my wife. Mrs. Struffy shows up. But when she shows up, man, everybody was greeting her and welcoming her. Boy, so glad you're here. Thank you for coming. And I didn't get to talk to her. So after services, I was back in the back, and folks was filing by. And they were shaking the preacher's hand. They were shaking my hand. And we were thanking folks for coming and howdying a little bit. And here come Fred Struffy, big old tall fella. He had a little bitty old red-headed wife. They were quite elderly. They were probably in their early 50s. And I'm not far from there. And they were coming through. And I was thinking, what can I say? That would just make such an impact on them. They'd create a desire in their heart to want to come back to this church. And so she came up and I shook her hand. I said, oh, Mrs. Struffy, I'd seen that she had bright orange hair. Like my daughter, Jeannie Mae. Bright orange. You could tell it had been touched up. Bright orange hair. And I said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say something about her red hair. And so she came up, and as I shook her hand, I said, oh, Mrs. Struffy, so good to see you tonight. Thank you for coming. By the way, is that your real hair? I thought, die, I would. I thought, Lord, take me home. I can't believe what I just said. Is that your real hair? I didn't mean to come out that way. It was just like, I can't believe I said that. And so I did what came naturally. I just thought, I'll bail out of this, right? I'll just back up. Well, usually you get deeper, and I got real deep. And I said, oh, Mrs. Truby, I'm sorry. I didn't mean for it to come that out that way, because usually ladies your age don't have... I thought, oh, no. She just stepped back and just sucked air. Fred was behind her cackling. He was laughing. He thought it was funny. This was not helping their marriage get back together. He's laughing. And she looked back at the preacher and says, does your associate usually greet visitors in such a manner? He looked at her and says, no, ma'am. He's forgot to take his medication tonight. She turned and walked out the door. Fred laughed. He patted me on the back, shook my hand, says, well, that was a good one. And he left, and you're probably wondering, did she ever come back? It ain't none of your business if she ever come back. Now, I offended her, and rightly so. I didn't mean to. It just kind of open mouth, insert foot. It's just like, I can't believe that it came out that way. I didn't mean for it to happen that way. Hey, our tongue can hurt people. The Bible says there, if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. If you've never offended anybody with your mouth, you are perfect. And nobody's perfect. All of us have hurt somebody, intentionally or not intentionally. And so our tongue has great power. Okay? Power. I want to show you the power of the tongue tonight. Look there in verse number 3. The Bible says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. I love horses, and I've always been a cowboy at heart. And we've had several horses. And owned them. My daddy was a blacksmith. My granddaddy was a blacksmith. And they farmed with horses and mules up on Sand Mountain in northwest Georgia. This is a twist shank bit my papa made. And, you know, you take this bit and you put a headset on it, hook up them reins, put it in that horse's mouth, and you can take a old little boy, weigh about 55, 60 pounds on the back of a 1,200-pound horse, and he can control that horse. He can direct that horse. Just that this little bitty old piece of metal in that horse's mouth will control it. Huh? It's got power. It says we put bits in the horse's mouth. He's trying to teach us that our tongue has great power. Little Joe, he loves to ride horses. Little Joe, in fact, the other day, I tell you what, back in 04, I had a terrible accident. And I was almost killed, and it was just a miracle that our family's even here. Well, little Joe had a terrible accident the other day. I mean, almost lost him. He thinks he can ride anything, okay? I mean, if it's got four tires, two tires, four legs, two legs, I can ride it, you know. He got on a horse. That horse got away from him, and I mean, he was cutting loose across the pasture. I thought for sure that he was going to just get trampled. His feet was a-flopping, his leg, you know, all over, and he was holding on the saddle horn with both hands. Man, he was screaming for his dear life, and I tell you what, we would have lost him. If it hadn't been for the manager of Walmart come out and unplug him, we would have lost him. He died right there. Praise the Lord. Tell you what, he's here tonight. We can thank God for that. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Even when he walks by, every once in a while, I just got to hold him up close because he gets trembling when he walks out in Walmart. So he's at home. Anyhow, you pray he gets the victory. And but he actually did learn to ride horse when he was 5 years old. He was riding by himself. And he was riding a horse I had in Appaloosa by the name of Hoss. And he'd ride Hoss, and man, Hoss, was she like to go. And I tell you what, if you didn't have a bit in her mouth to hold her back, you were going for a ride. I mean, she liked to run. She liked to go. And little Joe, when he was about 55 pounds, he'd sit on that horse, and he'd hold her back. And I'd tell him, as long as you got control, you control her head now, you're going to have control of the rest of the horse. Our tongue, number one tonight, has power to direct. Just like you put the bit in this horse's mouth, you can direct that horse and make that horse go where you want it to go. Our tongue has power to direct people. We can direct people for right. We can direct them for wrong. We can direct them from heaven, or we can direct them for hell. How are you using your tongue to direct people? Huh? It says we for ships. It says, build the ships, though they be so great. They're turned about with a very small helm. A little bitty old rudder at the bottom of that ship controls and directs it. And we can use our tongue to direct people. And we can direct them. Boy, that's what I tried to do. I tried to direct people tonight as I preached to the young people. I tried to direct them to surrender to God's will and to be willing to go off to a Bible college. I tried to direct them. Hey, you ought to put House Anderson on that list. And that could be where God might want you to go. And you ought to pray about it. Seek God's will. Trying to direct them. Boy, Brother Rigel, that's what he's doing. He has that meeting every Sunday night. He's trying to direct them. Every time your preacher gets up behind the pulpit, he's trying to direct them. This morning in junior church, as I was preaching to the children, I was trying to direct them. Hey, we need to use our mouth to direct people. Yes, Saturday, soul winning. We was out knocking on doors, visiting people. What are we doing? We're using our tongue to direct people. Yes, I hope that you use your tongue to direct people. He was driving up Interstate or State Route 50, divided four-lane highway in West Virginia, mountainous country. A logging truck was coming down off the mountain, and a tanker was going up. And he was riding in the car with his boy, and a terrible accident had occurred there. The trucker had the log truck lost control, and the brakes went out. And he hit that tanker head on Route 50. And there was an immediate explosion. Both truckers were killed instantly. And the heat was so hot from that fire, that chemical tanker and that log truck, the pavement, there was just mush. Houses that were over 100 yards off the road, the siding just melted to nothing. Terrible. An elderly lady who was driving up close slammed on her brakes and skidded underneath that tanker. And as soon as the trucks collided, she was gone too. Her car immediately exploded. Her life was taken. That man who had his boy who was sliding down the road, he slammed on his brakes and the car went into a skid as he saw what was about to happen. He told his son, he said, son, as soon as this car stops, head for the ditch, get in the ditch. And wham, the car hit the guardrail, bounced off and stopped. They both jumped out, headed for the ditch. At that moment, wham, those two truckers, their trucks collided and exploded. The elder lady's car slid underneath, wham, it exploded. And as they were rolling down the ditch, their car exploded. Kawoom, it went up in flames and they felt the pressure and their bodies shook. And as they rolled down the ditch and they ran away from that scene, just trying to stay alive. You know what that daddy did? That daddy saved that boy's life, gave him some instructions. He said, son, as soon as this car stops, head for the ditch. As soon as this car stops, jump out of the car. And you know what? Their lives were spared. You know why? Because Daddy gave some instruction, didn't he? And you know what? That boy, if that boy would have been smart mouth, that boy would have been slow to obey. If that boy would have been somebody that sassed, maybe like some of you do, slow to obey like some of you, says, "Ah, Dad, what for? I don't see any need to get out of the car. I'm fine sitting here." If he would have had a son that says, "Why?" Every time mom and dad tells you to do something, all he hears, "Why? What for? Do I got to?" If that boy would have been like that, if he would have said, "Why? What for? Do I got to?" he would have exploded in that car and been mush. How about you? If you was in that car, would you have life been spared because you're quick to obey right away without question? Or would you be in pieces, be in the graveyard? You know, it could save your life. Obedience could save your life. Boy, thank God that boy obeyed right away. Boy, I wonder, how obedient are you kids to mom and dad? Boy, my daddy didn't have to tell me 25 times to do something. My daddy, when he said it the first time, you did it. Huh? And if you didn't do it, and you said, "What for? Do I got to?" I would have been picking up my teeth out of the front room. Huh? If I would have back-talked and sassed and had a smart mouth, well, my daddy didn't allow that. Buddy. I tell you what, my daddy gave me direction. He taught, the reason why that your kid don't respect you is because you hadn't taught him to. The reason why that they're slow to obey is because you haven't instilled it. They just don't grow up well. Now I just let my kids make their own decisions. Are you a retard in any other area of your life? I just let my kids make their own decisions. I tell you what, if you want to go to church, you just go to church. You want to smoke dope, smoke dope. You want to drink beer, be stupid, go ahead, just do it. No. You don't ask them, "Would you like to take a bath tonight?" That's what I figured. Good. I just let them make their own decisions. If they want to take a bath, they take a bath. Well, I tell you what, I let them make their own decisions because religion was forced on me and crammed down my neck whenever that I was a kid. And so I just let my kids decide if they want to go to church or not. Now, what kind of a half-baked answer is that? What happened to you? You was dropped on your head when you was a baby. That's what happened. That is ignorant. I just let them make their own decisions. I tell you what, if you got a kid that's respectful, you got a kid that'll look you in the eyes, you got somebody that's obedient, it's because you put it in them. You instilled that in them. You expect it. Huh? Yeah. That's right. Well, I tell you what, Brother Walker, I wish I could get my kids to get up there and sing and do all that. Well, they can. Yeah, they can. I wish I had a kid that was obedient. I wish I had one that said, "Yes, ma'am." Yeah, they can. If you direct them. Problem is, we're too lazy to take the time to teach them. You know? That's the truth. Everybody wants to have an obedient dog. Well, you tell him to lay down, he lays down. You tell him, "Shut up," he'll quit barking. You tell him, "Go to your kennel." Oh, boy, I'd love to have a dog like that. But you're willing to pay the price it takes to get a dog like that. Because it's not easy. It takes time. Boy, to have kids that are respectful, it takes some direction. Boy, that's what we need. Is some parents and some Christian school teachers and some bus workers that are out hitting the pavement, going door to door, up and down these streets, looking for people to say, "Hey, I can give you some directions." I was in, Texas. Center, Texas. Danny Dodson's church. I had a good meeting. And I was at truck stop filling up my motorhome. And as I was filling up with diesel, I was watching the dollars cha-ching, 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 cha-ching going around. They use it for a fan now. It's just flying. You got a 150-gallon fuel tank on your motorhome, and you fill it up at, you know, anywhere from $2.50 to $3 a gallon, depends on what day it is and what time of the day. Now, that's a lot of money. And so I'm filling it up, getting depressed, you know. And this fellow comes up and says, "Excuse me, sir." He said, "Could you give me some direction? Because I look pretty smart, you know." And just seeing if you're awake. And anyway, he came up, he said, can you give me some directions? I'm looking for such and such town. And I says, well, I can give you directions. That's not a problem. But I'm not from around here. I don't know for sure how to get to that town. But I'll tell you what, I can tell you how to get to heaven. He looked at me like he wasn't prepared for that. And I says, now that's the best place to go. Is you need to make sure you're going to heaven. Do you know that for sure? He kind of says, no, not expecting that question. I said, well, wouldn't you like to know? He said, I sure would. I says, well, let me just show you here what the Bible says. Straight from the Bible, right here. I'm on my motorhome filling up. I just went through God's simple plan of salvation. Man, I showed him, I says, hey, the problem is you and I are sinners, and we're going to die and deserve hell. The good news is that Jesus loved you, and he died for you and paid your sin debt. And I tell you what, if you would accept him as your personal Savior, calling out unto him, believing him, and receiving him as your Savior, I said, you can be saved today. And I just went through the simple plan of salvation about what it meant to be saved and know you're going to heaven. I reviewed it with him. I said, now, sir, wouldn't you like to make this decision? If I were to lead us in a word of prayer, if Jesus is willing to save you, wouldn't you be willing to ask him? And he said, yeah. Right there, that diesel pump. At that truck stop, he bowed his head. I prayed for him, and he prayed and asked Jesus to save his soul. And after he looked up, I says, now to die right now, where are you going? He says, I'm going to heaven. He reached out and squeezed my hand and says, thank you. Woo! Another name was written down in glory. What are you trying to do? I'll tell you what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to use my tongue to give some directions. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Everywhere you go. Man, that's why I preach. I bet you every Sunday school teacher, every deacon, every Christian school teacher, anybody with any position, I bet their pockets are full of tracts. I bet you they're just oozing out with Blessed Hope Baptist Church tracts. I bet you just pass them out everywhere you go. I bet you it's just plastered everyone. Everyone knows when they see you, they know that's a Christian. They love God. They believe in what they do. I bet that's the way it is. Ought to be in your purses, your glove boxes. You ought to be equipped. That's why I got them little soul winning cards, just to be a tool. Have somebody to help them. It's laminated. You can win people to the Lord in the rain. Underwater. Amen. Man, hey, anywhere. You ought to be ready to lead somebody to the Lord anywhere and everywhere you go. You just never know. That's why I don't like to wear shirts without pockets. I despise them. I think they're the devil. Amen. I'm in the table. I like to have with pockets where I can carry my 3x5 cards. I can carry my pen. I can carry that little laminated soap on the tool. That way I'm ready. And I cannot tell you the divine appointments the Lord's had set up. You say, oh, I wish that happened to me. Well, it can. Next time somebody asks you for directions, just give them that track and say, I can direct you for heaven. Now try that. Yeah. Next time you run across somebody, pull out that track. Pull out some of them tracks. I got some of them. I like them. Where'd I put them at? They're in my pocket here somewhere. Oh, yeah, right here. And are you 100% absolutely for sure you're going to heaven? Man, he's got so many tracks back there. You all just pick them up and use them all the time. Because that's the last most important question. Amen? This young man right here, he got asked that question this morning. Did you ask Jesus to come in your heart and save you today? Did you do that? Well, that's good. Man, I'm glad you come back. He came this morning, come back tonight. Last most important decision was made for him this morning. And you know what? There's a bunch more like him out there. Well, they need. They just need the power of the tongue. It's got power to direct. And let's make sure we use it for right. Amen? You teenagers can direct. You know, some of you, I think some of you brought a friend. Anybody bring a friend tonight in the youth group? You did? Who'd you bring? Who? Jeanette right here? Is that your friend? Well, good. Yeah, you gave her direction. She said, well, why don't you come with me to church? And she said, no. And you pulled out your pistol and said, you're going. No, you're going. You're going to like it. Huh? You know, she was giving direction. Say, hey, why don't you come with me? Huh? That's what it takes. That's what we need. Now, we don't have time to go through the rest of this chapter. There's more powers of the tongue. There's three of them. But this first one, he says, we got power. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. Let's use the power of the tongue. You'll talk to, you know, what you talk about tells me what you love. You get around me and, you know, you listen to me talk, and I'll be talking about the Lord. I'll be talking about hunting. And then I'll talk about the Lord. I'll talk about hunting. And then I'll talk about the Lord, and I'll talk about bow hunting. And then I'll talk about the Lord, and I'll talk about gun hunting. And then I'll talk about the Lord, and I'll talk about guitars and instruments. And I'll talk about hunting. And, you just get around and you find out what this guy, guns. And, you know, you just find out what this guy like. Because that's what you love. What you love, you talk about. You got that friend, and all she wants to talk about is that hairy-legged fungus boy. That's all she wants to talk about is that boy. Getting tired of it. Aren't you getting tired of her talking about that boy? That's all she wants to talk about. Yeah, see? Which one is it? No. That's all she wants to talk about. Why? Because she's crazy about him, that's why. You know? Huh? That's all my wife wanted to talk about whenever we were dating and I was courting her. She won't talk about me, and I can understand why. But she, you know why? Because that's what she loves. What you love is what you talk about.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I hope you love the Lord enough to talk about it. I hope you love people enough to try to give them direction. Amen. Now, the power of the tongue. It's got power what? To direct. To direct. That's what we need to do. I hope that you use it accordingly. Our time is up. We'll pray. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you would help us to be consumed with the fact of just trying to love people and reach people and direct them for heaven. And Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that needs some directions for heaven, they're in the best place they could be to get their questions answered. And I pray not one person would walk out the door lost, but they would know that they're going to heaven. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder who would say, "Preacher, I know for sure that I'm going to heaven because somebody's already given me those directions. And I listened and I did what the Bible said. And I'm saved. I'm going to heaven." Who'd raise your hand as a testimony? That's me. I know for sure I'm going to heaven. When I die, I know it. God bless you. Thank you. Hands all across the room. Wonderful. You can put them down. Who's here tonight? Say, "Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand. Preacher, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I need to get those directions. And I need to get them cared for tonight." Are you here tonight? You'd slip your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I need those kind of directions. I'd like to know for sure that I'm going to heaven." Anybody at all? Any teenager, young adult, mama, daddy, brother, sister, friend, neighbor, anybody? I'd like to know for sure I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know for sure. If I could know it, I'd like to know it. If I could. Anybody like that tonight? Maybe you got a friend or a family member, somebody that's here with you, and maybe during the invitation you might be able to bring them to Jesus, bring them down the altar. They can get that settled. Maybe you're here tonight and say, "Brother Walker, I want to do a better job at directing people for heaven. I do. God spoke to my heart about it. I could be better. I could be more equipped." Who would raise your hand and say, "Pray for me that God use me to direct some folks for heaven. To use my tongue to direct people. I've got friends." God bless you. Many hands all across the room. Thank you. You can put them down. Who would say, "Brother Walker, I got somebody I'm thinking of right now. Mama, daddy, a brother, a sister, a neighbor, a friend, somebody I work with. And I'd like to direct them for heaven. I want to take them to heaven with me." Who would raise your hand and say, "That's me. I'm thinking of somebody right now. I'm thinking of them. I'm thinking of them." God bless you. Thank you. Put your hands down. When's the last time you prayed for them? When's the last time that you let them know? Boy, beg for God's boldness and courage. And ask God to help you and give you opportunities. Let's use our tongues to direct our children too, shall we? And our grandchildren. And the children that we teach in Sunday school and school. And direct them in the ways, in the right ways of life. Let's all stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to have a verse of invitation. If God spoke to your heart, as soon as that first note is played on the instrument, you slip out, find yourself a place to pray down here at this old-fashioned altar. Lord God, bless now in this invitation. I pray for your will to be done. We ask this in your name. Amen. As the instruments begin to play right now, step out, you come. The invitation's open. Altar call has been given. That's right, quickly. Come out, leave your seat. God spoke to your heart. You raised your hand. You got a loved one. You got a friend. There's somebody, maybe you just want to be a better soul winner. Maybe you want to use your tongue to direct people. Maybe there's somebody that you know they're going the wrong way. And they're making a wrong turn. They're making a bad decision. And you're saying, I want them to make the right decisions. Maybe you're a child here and you've not been quick to obey. If mom and dad testified about you tonight, would they say you're obedient without question? Maybe you need to deal with that tonight. You obey. How about you? How about you? God dealing with you about that? About your obedience? God dealing with you about your witnessing? About using your tongue? Maybe you've used that tongue to hurt people intentionally and God spoke to you about that tonight. Oh, let's get it right. Let's make a decision. Let's use this old fashioned altar. You spend as much time as you need to praying, talking to the Lord about it. Oh, God, help us to use our tongues to direct people. Just like a bit in a horse's mouth. Just like a rudder on the back of that ship, it directs it. And we need to do the same.